We are kicking off this Saturday edition of the Dog Days of Podcasting with some feedback from Nobilis Reed.
Hey, T. Nobilis again. I wonder how many sales Lani would have gotten if she had taken the money spent on those orders and the time spent calling all those people and used it to promote her book. Well, considering that it's a poorly written piece of trash, maybe not much, but who knows, right?
Right.
The book started off not only with a foreword, which is, I mean, I've written a foreword before for a fiction novel. It was for On the Isle of Sound and Wonder by Alison Grauer. And there's a big difference between the foreword that I wrote and the foreword that Lani featured in her book. First off, Lani's foreword was all about how awesome she was, right? My foreword was about the Tempest, and my experiences with the Tempest, and my connection with that play of William Shakespeare, because On the Isle of Sound and Wonder was a steampunk retelling of Shakespeare's Tempest. And I'm here to tell you, it's a fantastic read. It's a fantastic read. And also, I'm not saying that because Allie has also written for the Tales from the Archives a couple of times, but I'm saying it because it's a really good read. The book has a foreword, and it starts with a chapter zero. How special. Which brings me to the next piece that Nobilis sent me, which was this.
T, why are you torturing yourself with this terrible book? Stop reading it. Read something else.
That was how I felt at the end of every chapter, Nobilis, to be honest with you. The good news is I finished the book. I finished the terrible book. I now have a very clear opinion of said book. And it was a pretentious crap. It was pretentious, self-congratulating, self-grandeurizing. Is that a word? Help me out here. It was a spank fest. It was an absolute self-indulgent spank fest. When it did focus on the story at hand, it actually improved a little bit, but there was so little done in the development of the world and the characters, it all felt very one-dimensional. Yeah, not even two-dimensional. Two-dimensional would have been an improvement. One-dimensional. Which also brings me to something else it's a variation on the theme about raising the stakes. You heard me talk about that in an earlier show, but when you're raising the stakes with your characters, usually that's what everybody talks about, is raising the stakes with the characters, right? But what you don't hear people talk about is also raising the stakes with your environment. Okay, the world, and this is why world building is very important. World building is also plays very heavily into raising the stakes. It's one of the things that I noticed in a lot of steampunk that Pip and I try to play with in the ministry universe. For one thing, everybody talks about the airships, everybody talks about trains, and everything works great, you know, and it's kind of the Apple effect. If you think about it, with steampunk, with Apple products, Apple computers and iPods and things like that, you pull it out of the box and you just expect it to work. And on a quick tangent, I really think that was one of the biggest faults of Google Glass. Google really wants to be Apple, because when you open up Google Glass, there's like one sheet. It's this cutting edge technology, and there's one little mini sheet of paper, and these are your directions, and that's it. And for I'm old enough to remember when I got my first computer, it had like 10 different books on this is how it works and this is what you need to do with it. Granted, very few people actually read all 10 books, and those people who read those 10 books probably went on to be VPs of IT. But But Apple revolutionized everything by saying, hey, you pull it out of the box, you plug it in, boom, it works. And that's what Google Glass wanted to do. And let's just be honest, Google Glass really didn't get that. You know, Google Glass just, it wasn't that pull out of the box kind of technology. But the thing is that when Apple products work, they work great. But when they crash, when something goes bad with an Apple product, it is a second level of hell. And that's kind of the way people approach steampunk. They just say, hey, we've got this magic ether item, and it does this. Ooh, cool. What if something goes wrong with it? A lot of times in fantasy novels, guns work. But the thing is, most of the time, guns didn't work in the Renaissance days and in the Restoration. What you had to do if your gun didn't work is you flipped it around and you used that thing like a billy club. That's why the guns of the day were built so sturdily. I mean, those puppies are heavy. It's because they became bludgeoning instruments because it just took too long to reload. So in our environment, we try to set up, hey, if this happens, this can go wrong. And if you want an example of science, another example of science fiction, there's that really, I mean, this is what, again, and I know I've talked about this before on Dog Days, the reason why Aliens is such a damn good movie is because it's damn good storytelling. There's that terrific scene where they're watching the team go into the reactor, and out of the blue, Sigourney Weaver says, Lieutenant Gorman, what do those pulse rifles carry? And he starts talking about what they are and how they're armor piercing and all this stuff. And she goes, well, won't that rupture the walls? And he goes, yeah, so. And then they have this great little moment where they realize they can't fire their weapons underneath the reactor because the entire place is just a giant fusion bomb. So already the environment has raised the stakes for the characters. That's not raising the character stakes. That's using your environment, using the world that you're building to raise the stakes for them. And then, of course, the stakes are even higher because once Vasquez, you know, turns over the safety connection for her machine gun, she then pulls out a spare and gives one to Dietrich. And that's the thing. I mean, that's that is also raising the stakes for the characters. That's the difference. You just don't have an environment, but you also have the characters that are saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to raise the stakes for myself because F this. We're going somewhere that's dangerous. And in this book that I was slogging through and made it through, the environment was as sanitized and as esoteric as you can imagine. None of it was... There was no danger element. now that could be debated because there was an alternate realm where there's a reaction to what happens in the fantasy realm, but that was so disconnected, so much distance between that. I never forgot that the characters were in real physical harm. You know, and that's that I don't blame I don't fault the author for creating characters that have low stakes. I'm blaming the author for creating an environment that has low stakes. When you raise the stakes in the environment, naturally it's organic. Your characters already have elevated stakes. So when you're trying to figure out, okay, you know, what do I need to do to raise the stakes for my characters? Look at your world, look at your environment, because I could step outside today and get hit by a car. I could step outside today and I could get stung by a bee. I could step out of the house, and yes, I am stepping out of the house today. But I could step out of the house today, and something bad could happen to me. That's the world we live in. So the world you're creating as an author shouldn't be safe. There should be some danger involved. So get dangerous. Welcome to the Dog Days of Podcasting.